Welcome to Sorted, a podcast for creatives by creatives. I'm Emma.
And I'm Alex. So get your coffee ready and let's get sorted. Hey friends, welcome back to Sorted. We have a great episode planned for you today, all about the power of people. We're going to be touching on mentorships, internships, the power of having a network of fellow designers and friends that you can go to for certain things. So we're just going to dive right into it. Let's first touch on mentorships, internships, and assistants. So obviously all of those have kind of different benefits to them. Some work better than others for wherever you're at in your career and in your life. So Emma and I, one thing that we really bonded over at the beginning of our friendship was having the similarity in the sense that there was a lot of college students, a lot of young designers who would reach out to us asking for advice. For me, it might be they were reaching out to me to grab a cup of coffee and wanted to pick my brain about kind of the whole freelance world and working in an agency experience and all of that good stuff. So Emma and I got to bond of all of that stuff. And also, that's actually how Sorted got started, was that we found that there were so many people reaching out to us about mentorships, about just graphic design knowledge and kind of wanting to hear our
business
journey.
Tips. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we thought, well, why don't we just start a podcast? Because we don't have all the time in the world. And this will be a great resource for people to go to and act as an archive. And so people can go and listen and hear more about our journeys and more specific topics. Because we can't meet with all of you all the time, which I wish we could. But this is just another resource to kind of get that knowledge out there.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, I'm a completely self-taught designer. And so I learn from the school of YouTube and videos and Behance and Alex and everything in between. So having a platform that we're able to also help people with like kind of some more of the nitty gritty of, you know, detailed of going into business and running a business and organizing and processes. So that's kind of what inspired Sorted, was it's kind of a way to mass mentor. But kind of what Alex said with our intro is mentorship is just, it's the power of people. It's the power of who you know. It's the power of building a network. And part of that is, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And I feel like with kind of my ability to, you know, help, you know, the little things that I do know, there's still so much that I don't know. And so I'm a mentee and a mentor at the same time. And I think that you can be that for the rest of your life. I think that when I'm 60 years old, I still want to have someone, even if they might not be, age isn't even really a factor. It could be someone that's younger than me that still could mentor me and teach me. So I think that also just being a student of, you know, the world always as part of your practice of continuous learning. We kind of talked about this in the first episode of this season about how to spark creativity is just continuously learning. That's something that, you know, having mentors is part of, and like being able to take criticism, being able to take advice and actually utilize it and like to take it into practice in your own business is really important. So, yeah.
And it is really cool to have people. And Emma and I are not the best designers in the world, not the best designers in the city, but it's cool to have people that look up to us and people that are younger than us, where we have been in their footsteps at one point, that they want to know how we got to where we are today. And so it's actually very flattering to say, like, somebody might take something from my story, even though it might not work for everybody, but this is kind of how I got to where I'm getting. And here are some mistakes that I learned along the way to help others and to allow them to not make the same mistakes that I might have made. So not only do people reach out to us, you know, kind of via DMs on Instagram, or we meet people at conferences who might be students or might be young designers, but I get a lot of local people that I meet at maybe local art meetups around Indianapolis. And, you know, I hand out business cards and they get to know me. And then we all always go and grab coffee. Like, I always offer that to people. Now, I was actually telling Kyle the other week, I need to like tone down on that, because I say yes to so many things when it involves talking to other people about what I do. But I think that that's very valuable and very important because somebody can get so much more out of me over a cup of coffee than in an email, right? Because it's like an email, what specifics do you want to know? And I'll give you a bulleted list or whatever. But over coffee, I can start out with my journey. They can ask me specific questions that spark other things. And so I love a good coffee chat with younger designers or even older designers. You know, we can all learn from one another.
What are some tips, Alex, that you – so this is something like I feel like when I started reaching out to people, it was kind of – it's hard sometimes to reach out to people. Mm-hmm. It's like a little bit scary, especially like mm-hmm. post-COVID world. I feel like we're a little bit more nervous about meeting in person and like – I don't know. I feel like yeah. before COVID, I was like reaching out to anyone and everyone, and I was like, tell me what you do. I want like an interview. Mm-hmm. I want to mm-hmm. learn about you. So if someone's reaching out to you, if they're like a college student listening to this, like what's mm-hmm. a tip? What are some tips like for you? I just am curious, like what you say yes to having coffee with them.
I think the more specific you are about what you want from me, because I've gotten a lot of emails, you know, maybe I spoke at a workshop and then after that they send me an email of very basic stuff. Like this is one that I get all the time. I am very interested in graphic design. I'm not going to school for it or I have no experience. Where do you think I should start? And it's always like, you just start. Like, you just have to start doing it. Google what the best program is. And we talk about Adobe Illustrator all the time. But you have to start somewhere. But that's such a general kind of broad question that it's very hard for me, especially over an email, to answer that. There's no one specific answer. So I think the more specific and defined in what you're asking of me is going to go really far. If you say, hey, I'm a senior in college, I am very interested in going into the agency world, and I know that you have experience. I would love to grab coffee with you, and maybe you can help me get some pointers of how to make my portfolio stand out. That way, I know what I need to prepare going into this coffee meeting. I know maybe examples I need to bring, or maybe just some notes to bring to the table for you. So I would definitely say be as specific as possible, because as much as I love making time for meeting up with other designers or students, I don't have all the time in the world. And so it's really important for me to know what you need and to ensure that I have the capacity to have that coffee meeting with you, to have that video chat with you. And then we can really get down to the nitty gritty and make use of both of our times.
Yeah, I agree. I think that having an ask that's like specific, mm-hmm. you know, if it's, can you look at my portfolio? Like, and even with, can you look at my portfolio? I knowing like who your target audience is, like what you said, like, I'm interested in going into agency, or I want to get more podcast clients, or I want to do mm-hmm. more illustration work, or, you know, whatever your goal is with your portfolio. I think it's really important to kind of put it that part into perspective. But you also, if you're a student, and you don't know what you want to do, and you're just like, can you help me like put my portfolio together to get a job? Mm-hmm. You know, that's like also, you know, a decent ask. But I definitely agree with like kind of like an ask. And the same thing, I try to do the same with reaching out to people that I reach out to. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I'd love to go for coffee and talk about how you got this project, or how you
exactly
deal with this type of problem, or how you, even though it might not be like, I don't need you to look at my portfolio, but like having some kind of, let me buy you a coffee and I want mm-hmm. to meet about XYZ, or like, I love starting with like, what's your coffee order? Like, I'd love to meet, you know, meet so that I can get there a few minutes early, get their coffee order and like be sitting and waiting for them. So it's like not a waste of their time.
Exactly. You're essentially paying $5 for a mentor session, basically, which is really great. One of the I went to coffee with one of these ladies in Indianapolis who I really look up to. She's a graphic designer as well. And I luckily have her phone number, but I texted her and was like, I'm struggling a little bit with my process of, you know, start to finish. I would love to buy you a coffee and pick your brain about your process and maybe some things that you have learned along the way to better help me and adjusting my process. And it was great. So she knew going into that meeting what we were going to talk about. Now, obviously, it's not a super tight business meeting. You can other
yeah,
things
you go off topic. Yeah.
But for the most part, it's she knew what it was going into it, and then, you know, the banter can happen from there.
Yeah. I also think that not all designer meetups, like, for example, when Alex and I first met, it wasn't a mentorship call. It was like a, hey, like, I admire your work. Like, I admire your work. Like, let's chat like over Zoom for a little bit. Like, you can have just like a productive designer chat. And that's more kind of building your network rather than mentorship, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But I think that it can be really important to kind of have both of those relationships within your life, no matter what your career type is. You know, if you're a freelancer or if you're working a corporate job, I think it's important to have, you know, those type of people, like, because one is someone that you can talk to as a peer and one is someone you can ask for advice. So it's good to have both of those relationships.
And I also think being self-aware in the fact of not asking somebody for too much. If you find that you're emailing or you're messaging the same person every month asking them something, like, maybe it's time to see if maybe you can pay them for a mentoring session. Because obviously, as much as, like, I keep mentioning, I love to go have coffee with young designers, even designers who are older than me. I love to grow my network in that sense. But that's time, and that's time that I am taking away from maybe client work that's making me money. So if you find yourself in a repetitive cycle, maybe it's time to look into an actual mentorship or a coach to help you with those things and pay them for their services. And I know, Emma, you offer mentorship for as a paid service that people can sign up to for on your website. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's something that I started offering a while ago when I was kind of deep. I was having like two or three calls a week of, you know, meeting people. And again, it's not like out of selfish, or it's not a money. They were like very affordable pricing. And it's not like a money-making scheme, but it's I've also only ever done it with probably five or six people. But the five or six people that I've done it with, they either do one session. And I think out of the – I think it's five people that I've done it with. And out of the five people three people have signed up for like repetitive sessions. Like, they either did a session like every quarter to like check in, and it's more geared towards, and the people that I've seen have success with the, like, the small mentorship program that I do is people that are starting out of college or are very similar to me where they're self-taught and they just kind of need, like, they want to, you know, the first person that did it with me, she didn't have a website. She didn't have any kind of platforms. So, like, I would check in with her. We'd have an hour-long call. We'd talk about, like, what she needs to do, you know, setting up a website, what pages she needs, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of giving her almost like she, you know, she can do the website herself, but it's, like, working with me in the sense of my expertise and the things that I've learned, and she's able to apply it to herself and then also use it for her own clients. So she was able to get a lot out of it. It's something that it's always been on the back burner, like something I need to build out more and, like, market more, but it's also something I kind of just have there in the wings for people that need it. I don't necessarily think I'll ever market it really as like a service. It's just
Well, that's also a really great. Yeah. And it's also a really great opportunity, because if somebody is following the same route as you with not going to school for actual design, it's a great way in a much cheaper way than taking, you know, a college course in a certain topic. So you kind of have that real life experience and you can bring that to the table for them. So when comparing the two of them, or even like in comparison to a Skillshare class online that maybe only teaches you one topic, it is a super, super affordable and more fun option. I mean, who wouldn't want to be mentored by Emma? She's amazing.
Oh, stop. So it's my last cringy way of doing kind of like a customized course where, you know, I don't ever, it's kind of, I've had people reach out and ask, like, would you ever make a course? Like, or do you recommend courses? And I was like, honestly, I've never taken a course that I would recommend. And I don't really have any desire to make a course. So that's kind of where it started, was I would just would charge for like an hour of my time for calls. And then I just kind of built out like a page for it. But it's, I think that there's value, you know, in, it's actually interesting because it's something I've been kind of pondering is finding a, I don't know if business coach is the right word, but some kind of like paid person that I can, I'm almost looking for someone that's like, so if you have any recommendations, shoot me a DM, but someone like that I can work with as kind of like a paid mentor. They're hard to find. And it's, I think that the good ones out there aren't the ones, I mean, this might be a, I might be wrong about that, but I feel like the kind of person I'm looking for isn't someone that's mass marketing mentorship. It's someone that kind of like what I do, where it's like a random page on your website that if you happen to ask about it, here's a page about it.
100%.
It's not someone that's like posting Instagram posts about like their success with mentoring 100K businesses.
Yes, like I want you to be incognito. Nobody knows who you are.
Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, so then Alex, why don't you dive into, so I've never had an intern on my team. I joke around that my dog is my intern. if you follow me on Instagram, it's my running tacky joke. But you've had, I think, like a couple interns now, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. So what does that, like, what are the benefits of it? Like, what's the difference between an internship and a mentorship? Like, I think that that'd be like a helpful thing to dive into.
Totally. Yeah. So my idea to have an intern was because last year I was so slammed. I was so slammed with work, but I was also afraid to financially commit to somebody like a assistant or a part-time employee, just because, you know, owning your own business, especially as a graphic designer or a marketer, it fluctuates a lot. Your income is different month to month, at least for me it is. And so it was one of those things that I was kind of afraid to commit to somebody on a more serious note. So, and also I didn't really have any kind of young designers who were looking for a design assistant job. A lot of designers that I had in my network around the city worked at an agency already. They were at capacity. They didn't want to take on any more work, or so on and so forth. So I reached out to my university, and which is local to Indianapolis, and I reached out to my professor that I had my senior year, the graphic design professor, and was like, I am looking to get more involved in like mentorship and helping students other than these coffee kind of chats that I'm going to. Is there any way that I could have an internship program? Like with the university, we kind of partner up and you promote me as a business to the students, and then they can apply to be an intern. And my fear was that they would say no, because it's just me. I don't have an actual office, you know, front. It's only me. I don't have a team and all of that. And so luckily she responded and said, yes, you would be, I've seen your journey. I saw you as a student. I see you now as a successful business owner. This would be great. Let me get some students and see who's interested. And I got one like a couple weeks later. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
And the semesters like lined up perfectly. So what I do for my internships is it's college credit. So my university had an internship as a requirement for your degree. And so while it was an unpaid internship, they were still getting college credit. And I would take them out to, you know, lunches and give them a nice gift at the end and maybe a big gift card or whatnot. So I had my first intern and it went wonderful. She was there for one semester and I was just giving her the smaller work that I felt comfortable and had the time to kind of guide her throughout. Because when you're dealing with an intern versus maybe an assistant, it's hand-holding, but it's hand-holding in the best way. You're teaching them technical skills. You're teaching them a lot of different stuff that a lot of these interns that were reaching out to me were sophomores, juniors in college, so they still had a lot to learn. So it was a lot of hand-holding, but like I said, in the best way. And they got to get real client experience. So a lot of the projects that I were giving them, they owned from start to finish and would have my guidance, and then that would be the final product that I would send to the client. So for them, it was a really good experience to be able to say, hey, I made this for a real client. It's actually out in the world. It's printed. It's a digital ad running, whatever that might be.
And it's like a really big benefit to the student, because I can't tell you how many portfolios of student work I've looked at where it's just student projects. And you can just kind of tell when you're, especially like businesses that are looking at hundreds of students that are applying to a job, you can tell in a portfolio what work is just student project work and what work is real client work. So having an internship where they're so lucky to have found you, because I can only imagine how many internships they'd just be getting, like coffee and exporting files, like to actually have work that they can use in a portfolio that they say, I did this project from start to finish, you know? So it's like,
exactly.
It's very mutually beneficial relationship. I was going to ask you what specific type of tasks would you have your interns do?
Yeah. So one of my main clients is a gentleman who runs his own kind of marketing studio, I guess you could call it. And he has a lot of church clients. And so with churches, they have a lot of sermon series graphics, announcement slides, you know, at the beginning of a church service, they have all these announcements, upcoming events. So that was one really huge task that I would give my interns is, you know, maybe Thanksgiving is coming up. They need a slide for their Thanksgiving dinner. And so the cool thing about those slides is that they don't really have to follow the brand like to a T. Now, there might be certain styles and stuff, but it really gave the interns an opportunity to stretch their creativity and really own it from start to finish. Some of the projects, I would curate a mood board and say, this is the style that I want you to go for. And then they would execute it. And then I would be there along the way doing checkpoints and checking in. There was one project that was a branding project that I involved one of the interns at the time in the ideation phase. So I gave her the brief, shared with her the strategy, the questionnaire that the client and I went over. And then I was like, okay, start your mood board, start your Pinterest board, and then let's start. I want to see awesome. your paper yeah. sketches or your iPad sketches. And it was so cool to see that specific intern's strength in the ideation phase, because I feel like that's something that a lot of young designers struggle with. They could execute something really well, but coming up with the idea is sometimes the biggest struggle. So I tried to give a diverse amount of projects of different projects. There was one project that was for a postpartum care client of mine, and her icons, she had a constant growing icon library, and she still does to this day. And so when I initially created the brand, I had a library of around 10 icons at the time. And they were these doodle-like approach icons on the iPad, and then we had export them. And so that was one of the huge tasks for one of my interns, was to follow this exact style and create icons for this entire list that the client has sent over. So it was really cool, again, to have the intern jump in, pick up a style that I had originally started, but then continue to build out the library.
Yeah. And just like, I feel like the ideation piece that you'd mentioned, I feel like that's something that students, going from student work to real life, that's like a really hard. I mean, yes, you're given like a project brief, and yes, you have to come up with something, but you can kind of, it's kind of within like a, you know, school setting. So it's nice to have.
Right. Yeah. And I also remember when I was a student at the same university that my intern, my first intern was at, was that when I was looking for internships, the internship list that like our professor literally gave us a piece of paper and was like, here's a list of agencies and companies in the local area that do internship programs that you should reach out to. And they were all so boring. Like my internship that I had was at it's called the IBJ. It was like Indianapolis Business Journal, and it's like kind of like newspaper vibes. And it was just so boring because it was like a lot of the nitty gritty. Like I would literally have to refill the printer with paper, like that kind of stuff. And I'm like,
get coffee. Yeah.
And I'm like, this is horrific. This is terrible. And so I'm fortunate enough that I hope that my internship program is fun, because both of the interns that I've had thus far are like, this is so incredible. This experience that I've had, it's so much better than what I could get at any other job. Because at first I was afraid that it would turn students off because it was unpaid. But they were like, my first intern actually is the one who got me my second intern. So my first intern was from my university, and then she had a friend who she worked with at a restaurant who was actually a student at a surrounding university, like right by my old one. And so she applied to the internship, and then I ended up giving it to her as well. And so she originally was kind of turned down because she was like, oh, it's unpaid. I'm really looking for a paid internship. And my first intern was like, I know that it's unpaid, but I promise you it's worth it. Alex acts as your friend and also just a really cool boss and really helps you along the way. So that was really cool to have, to be able to give these students a different experience than maybe what they would get in an agency or a company setting.
Yeah. I mean, they're so lucky to, I would have killed for something like that as a student. Like that would be, there needs to be like a platform this is like an app idea, a platform for like rating internships. Like a, you know how there's like, there's one for like apartment buildings, but there needs to be like a, like Glassdoor for internships, like specifically
that would be amazing.
Internships.
Yeah.
And it could get really niche. Like it could get into like University of Indiana, like art graphic design internships, you know, like it
could that be would like be cool. So cool.
Yeah.
That would be really great. Yeah. And I am going to continue doing internships. So if you're a student and you're listening, please reach out to me and apply. There's a link at the bottom of my website in my footer. But I think I'm definitely going to tone it down to like one a year because, like I said, it is a lot of handholding in the best way.
It's a lot of onboarding too.
Yeah, a lot of onboarding because you're onboarding versus maybe having an assistant or a part-time employee. You're having to go through the same steps for every single intern with onboarding, with the technical stuff, even all the way down to like file naming, how to navigate the drive and all the different folders. So it is a lot. And I had two back to back and I'm on a break right now for this semester, which I'm honestly glad that I took because work has definitely picked up and I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to give the intern the attention that they needed. So I'm definitely going to tone it down to just one a year so they can really get my full attention. And every year I can really sit down and think about the process, see what worked the last time. And then I also have a feedback form that I send them and try to get them to be as honest as they can because I just want the program to continue to get better. But I would say when I haven't had a design assistant, so Emma, I would love to hear kind of how your design assistant is going now that you've heard how my internship program works.
Yeah. So back in, I can't remember how long ago this was. I want to say, crazy enough, I think it was 2021. No, maybe 2022. I have to look at my files. I don't know when I actually hired. It's been a long time. I know, should I know off the top of my head, but I actually don't. But I was looking, I was kind of swamped with work and I've always wanted to grow my team through contractors. I don't think, and it's interesting because I used to want to grow my team more and now I'm kind of like, I like it small and I think it, I just want to keep it a few of us. And I think that with an assistant, so this is specifically what I was hiring for is I called it a design and content assistant. So the type of work that I was overwhelmed with was, and the type of work also, I know this sounds like kind of selfish, but the type of work I wasn't like being, you know, that I felt like my time was better used elsewhere. And also that's part of it is finding someone that like understands that and wants to be there to help you. And so Kylie, the gal that I ended up finding, is amazing with that. She's like, at first, when we first started working together, I'd be like, hey, can you export these 200 files? And I would be like, I'm so sorry. Like, and she's like, stop apologizing. Like, this is interesting for me. Like, I'm learning how to do this. Like, it's exciting and cool. And I'm just happy to be here. And I was like, I hired the right person because you're just like happy to do this like work that I am not excited to do. But yeah, so it was like work like that. It was exporting files, you know, kind of the process work, content, so social media, Pinterest, and LinkedIn, Facebook, all that kind of stuff, more marketing side of things. And so I was looking for someone to help with those type of tasks. And so I put out an application and I have a great network of design friends. So I actually, like a lot of them reposted it without me even having to ask. And I actually ended up getting, I think 72 people applied. I think that was the number. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And I also posted on LinkedIn, which honestly, if I haven't hired anybody since hiring Kylie, but I think I would go back and I would not have posted on LinkedIn because I got a lot of like random extraneous people. And I did have it open to remote, but I was like New York preferred. And I actually did interview. I ended up interviewing like 7 people, which is too many people. I should have narrowed it down to like 4. But I did interview, I think like 3 virtual, 4 in person. I ended up doing 2 rounds of it. Just advice for anyone that's hiring someone. I did a little design challenge and it was something that was like, I was very clear. Like, this is not something that I would use. It's not something that it's just like, as an example, I gave them like 2 old logos from like a project a year ago. And I was like, please make 3 social graphics with this branding kit and these logos. So I sent them over like a brand book and the logos and I wanted them to make like a Pinterest post, a Instagram post and a reel. And so that's kind of like, I think I sent that to 10 people. Because there was just a lot of like really good applicants in the pool people. So I had a really, really hard time narrowing it down. So I narrowed it down from the 72 to 10, which in my opinion, I thought I did a pretty good job.
My goodness, yeah.
It took me like a week to go through and like actually narrow it down, and it was really hard. But yeah, so I narrowed it down to 10. I gave 10 of them the challenge. And then out of that, it was really clear. I think I narrowed it down to 7 that I was going to interview, because there was like a few that I just – the work didn't reflect what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And so I interviewed 4 people in person, 3 people virtually. And then from there, I ended up picking Kylie, which was – I can't even really – I should have done more like journaling back then to like remember like why I picked her. I mean, she's probably listening to this being like, tell me. but I think we just clicked. Her work was really great. And she was also just really excited about the position. And it also worked out where she had a pretty flexible 9-to-5 job. So she wouldn't be dependent on me for like money and hours. And so I was very honest. I was like, it's going to be really fluctuating. I was looking for someone that was freelancing. This was just kind of like a flex job. It's not guaranteed how many hours a month. Like I gave a range per month of how many hours it would be. And so, yeah, that's kind of how the hiring process worked. And then for onboarding, like I was going to ask you this, Alex, with your internship, have you built like any onboarding documents, like teaching about like file names and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I add them to, I have a specific Notion tab for interns. And so I add them to that. And then that has a ongoing document of like kind of housekeeping. I forget what I call it, but it has like, here's the file naming structure. Here's where you could find this. Here's our Google Drive link. Here's when you can expect me online. And then I kind of talk with them before I hire them of what they want their schedule to be like, what works best for them. And then we have their hours on there. So it's kind of like, just like I said, an ongoing housekeeping document that will have everything, but it's all in Notion and Google Drive.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I made a document that had all my house of, you know, like what timelines look like for branding projects and web design projects.
Yeah, exactly.
Like turnaround times and like just answering questions that they had, especially because I recently we haven't started a project, but I had a call with a social media manager to kind of bring her on to do management for clients, not for myself. Because I just have had so many clients that have asked for it. And I'm like, no, I don't offer like social media management. And so I think I'm going to start doing like just for clients that I've worked with, like, like I would have overall like creative direction, and then I'd have someone else execute the actual content. Yeah. And yeah, just because I think it'd be kind of a nice offering for my clients, like rather than me just being like, oh, here's a list of people I can refer you to, like having someone actually kind of quote unquote in-house. That's not really in-house.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of what the assistant project looks like. And I have her do kind of a random slew of things, and it kind of grows and it goes different from week to week.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear. I mean, you definitely have my wheels turning, especially now that my work is picking up, of whether or not it's time for me to do an assistant or just to do another internship. So now that you kind of heard my experience with interns and how that works, do you feel like you hiring assistant was and it still is the right thing to do? Or would you ever try to dabble in an internship program?
It's funny listening to you talk. I'm like, maybe I should have like, it's so funny. I think that Kylie was like the perfect person for what I was looking for when I was hiring. And she's great like currently. And she is like such a great, like, for example, I sent her like a project yesterday, and I sent her literally like a 2-paragraph Slack message, and she was like on it, like, got it. Like, so it's really nice. I will say, for not having to like the constant onboarding, like every semester. But I think that if I were to, you know, have a little bit, like if I was to get back into like a flow of the amount of work I was taking on, and where I'm like kind of now I'm like pushing projects, you know, back a little bit and giving myself a little bit more time. I think that I could also have an intern that could do the different tasks than she does, where it's not as much content. It's more of like the nitty gritty of like a brand, like the ideation. Like Kylie doesn't do a ton of like ideation or client facing work. It's more like internal on like the ESM side of things. And she also does stuff for Golden Hour Guild. So it kind of, like, I kind of think you can have both, if depending on your workload and the type of work you're doing. yeah, it could be interesting. But I think that there's pros and cons to both. I think that
totally.
I think that the satisfaction you get from helping students is probably like really mm-hmm. cool. And also just the new fresh ideas like of young people. Like, I mean, Kylie's young and she makes me feel, we're only a couple years apart, but she makes me feel so old sometimes. Like, you're so cool and so like hip and young, and like she does just cool things and she wears like cool clothes and she travels all the time. And I'm like, I want to be you when I grow up. Like,
yes.
But also I think that having students, like, I think you can learn from them. And like, I mean, you probably have learned new things of what they're being taught in school, and like,
totally,
especially with just like the evolving world that we're in nowadays, like with just how much change there is out there. But
totally,
I do think that probably the biggest pro of assistant versus intern is the constant onboarding. And like, exactly. But something I need to be better about is the feedback loop. Like, I've been telling myself for a year now that I need to start doing like quarterly check-ins where I get feedback from her and she gets feedback from me, just so like that we have like, so I have a system built out. But I like that you do that feedback to form. I think it's something helpful. Cause I think as a solo, you know, there's not many people giving us feedback, and I think it would be helpful to get feedback on my processes from someone that's, you know, inside them.
Yeah, no, for exactly. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of pivot things and talk about the power of people when talking about a network. So your network and the benefits of that. And one of the main benefits to having a network of designers who you trust and you want their opinion on certain things is that's kind of how I refer to Emma, is that she is part of my network now. She's like one of my best friends, but she's a really good person to have in your network just to help bounce ideas off of too. Like, we've talked about this before in other episodes, but there's been countless times where I'm like, Emma, help. I've been staring at this too long. I need your eyes. Like, what would you do? Or I sent her something a couple of weeks ago, actually, and was like, here's my illustration. You do illustration all the time. I don't do it as often. What is this missing? Can you please help guide my eye? I've been staring at this too long. And it was so wonderful to just hear her opinion and get an outside opinion and somebody who I trust. And I know that they're talented. And so I really value it and take that feedback and can implement it too.
Yeah. It's nice just to have someone that you can constantly like ask for advice or ask for how do you do this thing or how would you change this or how would you respond to this email from a client or how would you get the scope back on track? Or like, it's just nice to have people. And Alex and I have each other, and we also have like a small little group from some conferences that we go to, and our network that we bring on the podcast, yeah, and our network that we meet through podcast DMs and things like that. It's just nice to have people that are designers, mm-hmm, but it's also really nice to have people that don't do what you do. I have like I call it a vendor list. And it's people like photographers, copywriters, printers, different things like that, that I add to this ongoing list that I just keep in Notion, so that when clients ask me, do you know someone that does this? Or do you have a videographer? Or do you have, you know, XYZ, I can have a list of people that I can refer them to. So when clients ask you, you know, do you know someone, you have a reference. And I do a good bit of creative direction work. So I do it kind of for clients that I'm already working for. So if I've done their branding and I help them with their packaging, like, I'll help them do like a photo shoot with their product. Mm-hmm. And so I will do like the shot list, and I'll order all the props, and I will book the studio, and I will refer a group of photographers that they can pick from. And if they need people, I have like a modeling agency that we can work with, or a stylist that we can work with, or a makeup artist that we can work with. So it's kind of people like that, having a network in that sense of people that you can trust and reach out to, I think is really invaluable, just to provide that for your clients and being a good resource for your clients.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. I too have people who reach out to me, or even for stuff as simple as like business card printing. They're like, okay, you made me this beautiful business card. Where do I get it printed? And it's just stuff that we think everybody else knows, but in reality, they don't. They're not living in our world all the time. So I think having an ongoing list is super valuable and super important.
Yeah. And like custom, for example, like, I just had someone that needed like a custom, they wanted like this custom trifold brochure that I designed. And I was like, oh yeah, like, here's a printer that I've worked with, that is awesome and like very kind. Cause there's a lot of printers out there that I've worked with that are not very nice. So it's nice to have printers that are nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that also part of building network, like, one thing that Alex and I have, it's where we where we came up with Sorted and where we initially like built our friendship in person. But going to conferences, I think is a way to really build a network. Going to in-person events, like if it's, you know, graphic design events, if, you know, look up in your area what's going on, you know, on Eventbrite or on, you know, different graphic design communities. I think that's really helpful. Or another one is, I'm the founder of Golden Arrow Guild. It's a free Slack community that Alex is also part of. And we host retreats, but we do have monthly events that are free and fun. We have like happy hours and power hours and different things like that. So that's a great way to meet people and build your network. And people are always like, it's a medium active Slack group, because I say that because I think it's a selling point where some Slack groups that you're having to always respond are like a little annoying. Mm-hmm. So this one's a very nice, like, it's like three messages a week where you're like, oh, I'm going to respond to that. And so there's people posting like work and stuff in there. It's like a perfectly balanced, in my opinion.
I can attest to that. As a And I also think the cool thing about building your network is that the people that you have in your network, granted, some of them might stay, you know, kind of business, your network friends, but then some of those might bleed into your actual friendships. I mean, like Emma and I, for instance, she's one of my best friends now. There are so many girls that I met on Golden Hour Guild who I like text about life stuff now. And, you know, we might FaceTime as well. And so those networking friendships and connections could also lead to genuine friendships. And maybe you, if you live in the same city, you can go out to dinner with these people and learn more about their lives. Yeah. And so not that that should be a selling point or a benefit to those, but it is a really cool kind of full circle moment when that stuff does happen. And also having people in your network who maybe do the same thing as you, and maybe they are a freelance independent graphic designer as well. If they have a project come their way that maybe they don't have the capacity to take on, they can refer it to you. They could say, you know, I don't have the capacity to take this on, but my friend over in New York City is so talented, and here's her contact info, and you should definitely reach out to her for this project. So it's those networking connections that then lead to trustworthy friendships. And if you have talented friends and just good people in your circle, everything can kind of work in your favor.
Yeah, I think it's just amplifying your creativity and your business. I think that having, you know, I think that sometimes it can feel like that whole community over competition thing can kind of feel like some bullshit sometimes, where people preach it but don't actually practice it. And I think that if you find the right people, you'll find people that really do amplify you and just make your life better.
Yeah, and we do acknowledge that sometimes people are very shy. Sometimes, shockingly enough, I get really awkward in social settings, maybe at a conference or something. And we get that and we acknowledge that, and that's totally fine and totally normal. But we also would encourage you to try to get out of your comfort zone, because there have been projects that we've gotten because of people in our network and relationships that we've been able to build because we just approached people at a conference or just introduced.
We started a podcast with, you know. Yeah. I mean, I think it seems we have it put together, but Alex and I are just two friends that are just weirdos. So, you know,
100%.
Most of us are. So don't feel
we just decided to record us talking about everything for you guys.
Well, we hope you got a lot of information out of this episode and that this inspires you to go and reach out to three people this week or this month. I think that that's like a, you know, when you're setting business goals, especially like this is coming up on the end of 2023 and you're setting your goals for 2024, I would encourage you to include mentorship and network building within your goals. You know, go to one network event a month, one professional development, you know, event a month, you know, reach out to one person a month for just a coffee chat. I think that those can be really valuable friendships and relationships build. So it's something that's been on my goals. I actually do it quarterly, but for the past couple of years, and it's, you know, paid in full. So I definitely recommend adding that onto your goals. But yeah, I hope that you have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.